from Mark's Gospel in chapter 11, verse 1 and following. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here immediately.' They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, 'What are you doing, untying the colt?' They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven.' Then he entered Jerusalem, went into the temple, and when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Our scripture today gives us a unique imagery of how Jesus came into Jerusalem. The prophet Isaiah, or rather the prophet Zechariah, prophesied this entrance himself 500 years before its actual occurrence. Zechariah ministered to the people of Israel in the time after they'd been in bondage in Babylon, after they'd returned and the walls had been built by Nehemiah, had been restored, and restoration was coming to the people of Israel, not only physically, but also spiritually. This is what Zechariah said as words of hope to the people. He said, "Your king is coming victorious and triumphantly. Your king is coming humble and riding on a donkey." You know, as we hear this passage of scripture today that we shared in our gospel, and in the prophecy of Zechariah, I think there's even more substance in the text today to tell us how Jesus came to our world on Palm Sunday, during Holy Week, during this holy season for the people of Israel of Passover. And I would like for us to focus together this morning on this text and the acronym of how Jesus came in Palm Sunday and how it changed our world forever. The H of Jesus coming to our world is certainly proclaimed by Zechariah in that Jesus came humbly. He came in such a way that he was more concerned for the needs of the world than his own concerns. When we look up the word humble in the dictionary, this description is provided: having or showing a low estimate of one's own importance. I like that interpretation, but you know, I'm even more grateful by this one that I read recently by a theologian who said, when we are humble, it's not so much that we think less of ourselves, but we think of ourselves less. That was the nature of our Lord. That's how he came into Jerusalem. That's how he comes into our lives, humble, as a servant, not one to be served. Last evening, Manya and I watched the movie Murder on the Orient Express. And I saw the princess, Dragomirov. I had to make sure I said that right. I'm still probably not pronouncing it correctly. But she's portrayed by Dame Judi Dench in the movie. And the princess, as she enters, or as she makes her entrance, let's say it that way, onto the Orient Express, it's everything about the princess. It's all about her needs. She has a servant who's bringing along her little dogs behind her. She walks by the first room. She says, nope. Goes to the next room. Nope. Goes to the third room. I guess it's enough for her to go on in. She takes that room. Then eventually she goes to the dining cart. She has her little dogs up on top of the table, not concerned about anybody else's needs. She was so gruff and rough and irrespective of others. I share that to say sometimes for us to understand humility, it's better to identify what it's not to better understand what it is. The princess in the movie was not respectful for others. The princess in the movie, it was all about her all the time. The princess in the movie didn't mind putting others out so that she could get something better. You see, our world needed someone to come humbly. And Jesus came. That's how he came to us. That's the first gift he brought in his procession, was to be a humble servant for all who trust in him. Another way that Jesus came, if we consider the acronym HOW and the message of our text, is that he came open-handed. He came graciously. He came willing to give all of himself for all of humanity and anyone who would simply trust in him as Savior. Jesus knew that we needed a Savior. You see, this passage of Scripture that we hear here, it picks up where Jesus is journeying from Jericho. But if we look up at the verses just prior to that, we know that as he exited Jericho, just as he was about to head to Jerusalem, he was interrupted. He was stopped by a man named Bartimaeus. And this is what Bartimaeus said. He said, Lord, I want to see. Or Lord, I want to be saved by your grace. I want you to pour life into me to open my eyes again. It was a spiritual call as much as a physical call. You see, Jesus, in the O of coming open-handed, he also came by going out of his way. He wasn't too busy to stop on his journey to Jerusalem to hear the needs of a person who was yearning to have restoration from his current state. You see, friends, that's how our God comes too. Yes, he comes humbly, but he comes open-handed enough. Will you hear this with me? He comes open-handed enough to meet us at the very needs of our life. Whether it be spiritual, whether it be grief, whether it be challenges we're facing as a family or in business, the adversities that we all face, God yearns to journey with us and sustain us in our darkest times, much like Bartimaeus, one of his yearning servants. You know, when I think of God's open-handedness, his generosity, I think of how our human nature is so contrary to that. I think of my own human nature. Just this week, a small example. Friday, I came home from the college, and our chef there does a brilliant job, and one of my favorite little side dishes is pico de gallo. And I even said it right. I can't spell it correctly, but I can say it right. I love pico de gallo, and Chef Brett had chopped up an enormous amount of pico de gallo. And the students didn't eat it all, so Jody got to take home what was left over. And I had two big, nice styrofoam containers of pico de gallo. I was looking so forward to enjoying them all by myself all weekend. And I got home, and I saw my neighbor out there, David, sweating. And I asked David, boy, I don't know what came over me. I said, David, do you like pico de gallo? I was hoping he'd say no. And he said, yes. And for some reason, I felt the Lord leading me to be generous, and I didn't want to be generous. I had it all to myself, so I went inside and I opened the containers and I looked, and one had just a little bit more than the other, so I kept that one for myself. But I gave my friend David one of those containers of pico de gallo. Now that was such a small feat. And I've got to be honest, I didn't do it real willingly, Kenny. I didn't want to be open-handed with such a small gift. I much rather would have enjoyed it all to myself. But friends, our God came. When the world needed something far greater than to satisfy its taste buds, our Lord came to us and gave far greater than a Mexican side dish. He gave the very life to all of us who had a need. Wow, that's giving open-handedly. That's giving all of Himself. The Lord said later in Scripture that no greater love does a man have than to lay down his life for his friends. But you know, there's another way our God came on Passion Week. He came humbly, yes, to serve others. He came out of His way and open-handedly, giving graciously. But God also came into Jerusalem. He came willingly. That's the W of how our Lord came. You see, our Scripture tells us. It tells us that as Jesus was leaving Jericho, that He journeyed on into Bethany in Jerusalem. You know, that's about a 15-mile passage. It would have taken, what, about 5 hours? Maybe a little less if you're a real speed walker. But a 5-hour journey from Jericho. But you know, here's the thing, friends. As Jesus was leaving Jericho, it would have been much simpler had He not turned, had He not made that westerly turn and traveled to Jerusalem. He could have just gone a few miles south of Jericho. 1 hour's walk from Jericho would have been the Judean wilderness. You remember what Scripture tells us about the wilderness, right? This is the place where Jesus went after His baptism. The place where Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness. The place where people went to get lost, friends, hear me, was the wilderness. And Jesus knew it well. He knew the crooks in the road. He knew the hiding places. He spent 40 days there being tempted. Imagine with me, if you could, as Jesus left Jericho, standing before Him was the knowledge of what waited in Jerusalem. He could have journeyed. He could have escaped. He could have went willingly to the desert to save His own hide, but instead He went willingly to Jerusalem to embrace the cross for you and for me. You know, Monya and I had dinner with some friends recently, Becky and Clint, and they shared with us that their grandson, Aiden, he went to watch his grandmother sing in their annual passion play there at Oakland Baptist Church in Corinth. And Aiden went as a little 4-year-old boy, and he did something great. He gave his grandmother a gift. He carried with him, Aiden, this 4-year-old boy, with his hair parted just right, with his shirt tucked in, with his best pair of cowboy boots on. Aiden went and took a beautiful bouquet of flowers to his grandmother as she sang in the cantata. And they took pictures afterwards, and you saw Aiden there with this brilliant smile on his face, and you saw his grandmother with somewhat of a smile and little tears, it looked like, coming out of her eyes. You see, Clint told me this. His mother had written him a text later that night. And she said, I've been singing in this choir for 15 years. And that's the first time anybody's ever brought me flowers. Clint said, I know I brought them 2 or 3 or 4 times. But she didn't remember that. She remembered Aiden's. You know why I think she remembered his? Because he didn't have to do it. Sons are expected to go out of their way. But grandchildren, who would expect that a little one would go so willing? Would go with a smile on his face? Would go taking flowers of celebration? Would grow with his hair parted just right? Would go in his best clothes to serve and give to a person in need? Friends, that's the nature and just a small example of how our God came in a far greater capacity. Not because he had to, but because he was willing to give all of himself so we may have life forever. Thanks be to God and the sacrifice of our Savior. Amen. Friends, as we respond.